Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, we are giving away one free large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza up in Aurora. They have two locations, one off of Smoky Hill Road. The other one is off of Quincy. So many great options. The pepperoni melt is fantastic. You're going to love the Hawaiian pizza. I mean, you would expect Canadian bacon and pineapple, but you also get bacon and chicken as well. The white pizza is fantastic, and I started off eating that barbecue chicken pizza, and that was my favorite, and I'm thinking, I don't need to eat anything else, and I had the other specialty pizzas. And I'm like, man, they got a lot of great options here. 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. You are getting one large specialty pizza from Marco's on us. Just give us a call. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
You want to go through the chronology of the roller coaster? Not that we've gone through since draft day, but how about over the last 36 hours? You remember how this all began?
What aspect of it are we talking? Are we talking about beginning with the Instagram posts by Devontae?
Yes. Well, let's start
a little more than 36 hours.
Let's start there for 48 hours.
Yeah, it was Friday night.
Yeah.
And both Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers post pictures, the same picture.
Right.
Specifically at the same time.
Yeah.
Of Scottie Pippen.
Michael Jordan.
And Michael Jordan.
The last
dance.
Right. So I was wrong. Because you know what's funny? It seems like this story, we've been peeling back another layer from the onion. It feels like every 10 to 12 hours. So you're right. Let's go back to Friday. We have that. The last, what do they mean? Does that mean for Aaron Rodgers it's over this year? Or the two of them come back and it's next year? Because remember, Devontae Adams
talks in a contract off year. For a contract extension with Devontae Adams.
Right. What was next to you?
Next, it then came when you had the report from Pro Football Talk last night.
That the Broncos, it might be too rich for their blood.
To give up 3 ones and 2 twos. Right.
The Broncos are the most logical trading partner, but they may not go for it knowing that, A, they have to give up all that. And then the kicker was Rodgers is going to want 2 years, $90 million fully guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
So now that gives you a whole other set of emotions. Wow. We knew he'd be expensive, but this much? And then we wake up in the morning, Ian Rappaport puts out.
Well, no, before that, Peter King had something in his column this morning.
Yeah.
Where he talks about the potential of Aaron Rodgers being dealt. And says that the only way he could see Rodgers being traded would involve significant 2021 value. So he puts out a proposal of 2 ones, Drew Lock, and wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
It was never going to be Drew Lock, ever, ever, ever. It would have only been Teddy Bridgewater.
Because Drew Lock would give him something they already have. An unproven young quarterback.
Right. It was always going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Why in the world would the Packers want? I'm sorry. Why in the world would they want Drew Lock?
Unless they believe that.
Because he's unproven. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Unless they believe he's something special. So then
you get steady Teddy.
Then we have the Packers shareholders meeting, and Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy both speak regarding
Neither of them got grilled.
No.
Neither of them got grilled.
Well, at the shareholders meeting, it's a speech because it's in the stadium and there are thousands of people there.
Well, they didn't get booed. How's that?
Yeah, they didn't get booed. There were a couple of hecklers, but that was it. And then comes the Ian Rappaport report from NFL Network.
Right.
That Rodgers is coming back. He's going to play this year.
And then you have the Adam Schefter report, which is, and I will read this one verbatim, if Packers officials sign off on their willingness to trade Aaron Rodgers and the agreement is finalized soon, here's the biggest concession the reigning MVP will receive, the freedom to decide where he wants to play in 2022. So that's where we are at in theory right now. I'm not sure if I fully understand the freedom to decide where he wants to play in 2022. Is this suggesting he becomes a free agent and the Packers get nothing in return? Or the Packers say, please play for us one more year, and we are going to trade you to a list of teams that you give us.
And I would guess it would be option B. It'd be a trade.
It would have to be.
Yes.
How in the world could the Packers agree to let Aaron Rodgers play one more season and then walk? You might as well trade him right now and get something as opposed to playing out the entire season and then letting him walk for nothing.
Which would basically mean we've come all the way down to back around to where we started this weekend. Friday night, a picture of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen commemorating the last dance.
This indeed is
going to be the last dance for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in green and gold. That's why when I asked Bill Michaels, when we had him on the top of the show, you can listen to that interview at milehighsports.com, and I asked him where you think he's going to be next year, and Bill said somewhere else.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the, and it didn't say Denver, but said somewhere in the AFC, Denver being a possibility. Now, for the Broncos, look, the cleanest thing would have been they trade Aaron Rodgers now because there's a limited scope of possibilities and possible destinations for Aaron Rodgers this year. It was basically Denver, nowhere else. You get to next year, other teams start having cap space. They can manipulate things. Other clubs are going to enter the chat. The Raiders will enter the conversation. You guys both said Pittsburgh possibly moving on from Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't know.
Although I can't see that. I think Aaron Rodgers' antenna.
I did say Pittsburgh, yeah. But maybe I shouldn't. New Orleans makes sense.
If they trade him in the NFC, but they may say, no, we don't want you in the NFC.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you start looking west. It's not going to be the Chargers because Justin Herbert's the man there. Mm-hmm. So basically, instead of being the Broncos and nowhere else, it's likely we're talking about it being Denver or Las Vegas.
Maybe. Maybe Miami.
If they don't get Deshaun Watson. But does Rodgers want to go east?
I don't know.
If it's AFC, it's still a relatively limited amount of options if Rodgers wants to go west. If he opens it up a little bit to elsewhere in the AFC, then it opens the Miami possibility. It opens, like you mentioned, Pittsburgh. If Carson Wentz bombs in Indianapolis, that's an organization that has had success. The Colts would potentially come into play. I doubt it would be Houston given all the things going on there. But the interesting thing is this. If Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer next year, the Broncos are still the favorite.
You would think.
Now, that would mean that Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock have 17 games to show that they can be viable options.
Let me read this story here. This coming from CBS Sports and Cody Benjamin. Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are nearing an agreement on a reworked deal that'll keep the quarterback in Green Bay for this upcoming season. Per Ian Rappaport, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaConfora has confirmed the report. Rodgers is expected to report for camp once the deal has been finalized. Okay, so let's get into this. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter adds the deal will void the 2023 season from Rodgers' current contract, and the franchise tag may not be used in future years. Green Bay also agrees to review his situation following the upcoming campaign, which could lead to his speculated departure. Joel Corey of CBS Sports notes that by voiding the 2023 season, Green Bay is committing to trade him or redoing his deal. Otherwise, NFC franchise would be allowed to let him walk in free agency for a third-round compensatory selection. See, this is where I get lost. What are you making out of this? What are you taking out of this?
Taking out of that this is his last year?
No, I'm with you on that, yeah. But is this going to be they're trading him or they're going to let him walk? That's what I don't understand.
It wouldn't...
How in the world could they let him walk?
It wouldn't behoove them to let him walk.
No.
They get more in a trade. And The other thing is, whoever...
They get something in a trade.
But here's another thing. A team may be compelled to trade for him, knowing that it just takes all the garbage out of it. If he walks and becomes a free agent, you have competition. If you're the Broncos and you went through the 2021 season, you had an okay year, but neither Locke nor Bridgewater was the answer. You're sitting there with a middle first-round pick out of sight for the elite quarterbacks. Then all of a sudden, you say, yeah, we'll trade something of value to keep Aaron Rodgers from being available on the market. Now, that being said, would we be talking about 3 ones and 2 twos? No. Price would be a lot much less than that.
All right, coming up after the break, we had 3 major stories come out of the Olympics, and all of them stunners. Which one was the most surprising result? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Very superstitious. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Pokemon Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Colorado Off-Road. No one gives you more than Colorado Off-Road. They have all the major accessory brands for your truck, your car, your Jeep, your SUV. When you buy from Colorado Off-Road, they're going to install everything. Big box stores, they don't do that. You need some aftermarket? They can take care of that too. Over 90 years combined experience to get you what you want. Big box stores? They don't do that. They only want to sell you new, and they're not going to install anything. You want to go to Colorado Off-Road. You can find them in Littleton. Say hello to my friend Jerry. He is the owner. He grew up in Littleton. Yeah, kept his business in Littleton. Go to cooffroad.com or find Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
I got to tell you something. You could literally be a Denver correspondent for the Olympics. I'm reading your Twitter feed. You're watching handball. You're watching badminton.
Softball. There's a...
Oh, man. You love that softball
game. The U.S.-Australia softball game.
Oh, man.
Was one of the most tense games I've ever watched.
Ever watched.
Yes. Well, softball at a high level
is
not a high-scoring game.
Right.
A lot of... It's kind of like soccer sometimes. It's 1-0. It's 2-1. And... In softball at that level, it's very much like the World Series where, you know how they say in the World Series, getting a runner on first is like getting a run? Mm-hmm. That's a rally. It's kind of the same way at high-level softball, too.
Okay. There have been some huge stories at the Olympics, and none of them good for the U.S. team. Mm-hmm. We can start it off with the men's basketball team who lost to France over the weekend. I accidentally stumbled upon that game with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I'm like, are you kidding me? Then you had Katie Ledecky get the silver in the 400 meter freestyle. Australian Ariane Tinmis. Okay, beat her now.
And her coach had an amazing celebration.
He
pelvic thrusts and everything.
He genuflected on the, I think, on the pool deck.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And then you had the women's gymnastics team, who, the only way that people thought that they could possibly lose gold is if they missed the bus. And in the preliminaries, qualifying, I should say, they finished in second. Biggest upset in order.
Well, the other thing also you mention, you have to mention as well, is when the U.S. women's soccer team, which is the best in the world, came out in the Olympics in their first game, went flat on their face, losing 3-0 to Sweden last week.
That's a big one,
which
too.
Ended a 44-match unbeaten streak. So right. I would actually start
with
there
that?
Yeah. And then go to Katie Ledecky. Losing the 400-meter freestyle.
Yeah, I would not put Ledecky that high, and I'll tell you why. Because the girl from Australia...
I mean, she's really good.
Well,
but Ledecky's was supposed to have an all-time run here.
Well, here's the thing. The girl from Australia beat Ledecky in the 400-meter freestyle in the World Championships in 2019. So it's not that big of an... It's an upset because it's the Olympics. Listen, I have been very vocal about this. Katie Ledecky is the greatest, most impressive swimmer in U.S. Olympic history.
Not qualifying by gender.
No.
Yes. Because more impressive than Michael Phelps, more impressive than Mark Spitz.
Because what she will never win as many gold medals as Michael Phelps. I am with you on that. But what Katie Ledecky essentially does is, if we are comparing this to track and field, she excels at the 400, 800 mile, and the 26.3 mile marathon. I mean, she dominates in all four.
Yeah, it's. If we're going Olympic sports winner, it's kind of like Eric Heiden,
right?
Able to win at 500, able to win at 10,000 meters,
right?
Back in 1980,
it is really it is what you would, in theory, look at as winning the triple crown in horse racing. Now, granted, she doesn't swim the two. She's not a sprinter. She doesn't swim the 100 meter, and I'm with you on that. When it comes to accomplished, no question, it is Michael Phelps. Now, as far as the women's gymnastics team, not only did they finish second, they looked awful doing it. If you just watch the video clips of them stumbling in the floor, stumbling in the vault, stumbling on the beam, you would think that they didn't qualify at all.
There was something about kind of watching some of the performances in the Olympics, and you wonder if the lack of a crowd is having more of an impact on them and on the U.S. teams than some others. Because in this country, in recent months, we've gotten back to having spectators there. There were spectators for the gymnastics trials. There were spectators for the swimming trials in Omaha.
Yep.
There have been spectators for the women's soccer games, for softball. And now you go back into operating in a vacuum again.
Silence.
Effectively, silence.
Right.
Where there's nothing in the background. It's you and your thoughts and whatever pop music they're playing over the loudspeakers.
Right. It's funny.
And that's what kind of hit me. I'm like, it's such an empty, sterile environment. Right. I wonder if it's thrown some of the U.S. athletes off.
Maybe a little bit. But I got to tell you, when I was watching that men's basketball game, all I kept thinking was, man, Masai Ujiri made a great pick with Evan Fournier, didn't he? And I traded him eventually.
But he was, yeah.
He was the
best player in that game.
He was. He thrived. He thrived when he was traded to Orlando.
And he hit all the big shots. I mean, he had the clutch gene going for him in that game.
Here's the thing. I saw some people put out on Twitter that the NBA players are having a difficult time adjusting to the officiating. No. Well, that might be true. They can't hit a jump shot. Wide open threes. I mean, you watch Kevin Durant play for the Nets. He doesn't miss anything for three. You watch Bradley Beal, he's not missing anything. Booker, he's not missing anything. And these guys are missing all over the court.
I mean, Dame Lillard was 3 for 9.
Terrible.
For Dame, that's a pedestrian night. 3 for 9.
That's a bad night. In that game. That's not pedestrian. Yeah. That's a bad night for him. I mean, he's launching it, you know, between center court and the three-point range. And isn't the three-point range, isn't it closer international play?
Slightly closer, yeah.
Right. I mean, they should be killing teams with threes.
I mean, the lane is the same. I mean, basically, it's basically an NBA game. The other thing that kind of is alarming to you in this game is even though Bam Adebayo had 10 rebounds, as a team, the U.S. gets out-rebounded by France.
Right.
Now...
Oh, because Rudy Gobert is so good.
Rudy Gobert is out there, and he gets 9 boards. But Rudy, the thing is, Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier, as terrific as they were, shouldn't be enough to beat a team that's got Draymond Green, Dame Lillard, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. And yes, we know about the players that the U.S. is without right now. But what
it doesn't matter if
what the Americans have should be enough to win. And really, part of it is you watch this team and there is zero flow right now. There's zero chemistry. It really does look like a team where they just pulled a bunch of talented guys together, threw the ball out, and said, okay, well, let's try to figure this out.
Does Team France play together all the time and I'm missing these practice sessions?
That's the thing. None of these teams do, but Australia, Nigeria, France all play with a chemistry and cohesion that the U.S. lacks.
Right, but it's not like these guys are getting an extra practice time. Fournier and Gobert are playing for the NBA teams.
Yeah, they just showed up after taking some time off, in the case of Gobert, after the playoffs.
Right.
Just like these guys on the U.S. did. That's the thing. It's... the explanations don't hold water,
right?
But it's on Greg Popovich to figure out how to get the chemistry and get these guys to mesh, because they're not coming together in a way that we have seen. I mean, Nigeria's got some NBA players. Australia's got some NBA players. They're going to play Iran, who doesn't have any NBA players. If Iran beats the United States...
Oh, my God. This will be like beating the Soviet Union in hockey in 1980.
Yes.
They will love this.
If Iran beats the U.S. men's basketball team, I think it's fair to say that would be the most embarrassing team sport loss an American team has suffered in modern times.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, training camp officially begins tomorrow. Players report, right?
Yep.
And we get to enjoy a media barbecue and then listen to George Payton and Vic Fangio, maybe some players. What are the three biggest questions heading into training camp? That's next. Running away with me. It was just my imagination. Running.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Never mind a girl.
Is this Motown Monday?
Should be.
It is.
Yeah. I like it.
It's a great song. Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Also, don't forget to download our app, Mile High Sports. You can listen to the show live. You can listen to our show on demand as well. You can also listen to a lot of great podcasts produced by Mile High Sports Radio. And by the way, you can listen to us in your car if you want to with our app, or you can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
Training camp officially begins tomorrow, which means the Rockies weren't very good, but at least we got through their season to get to the Broncos training camp, although we were helped along the way with the Avs, a little bit of a run, Nuggets, a little bit of a run, Aaron Rodgers talk, and here we are. I mean, I think any Denver broadcaster will tell you, you know, once the draft ends, how are we going to get through to Broncos training camp? And, you know, we did. Let's talk about the three biggest questions heading into training camp. We know quarterback is number one. We will have plenty of time to talk about that. Outside of the quarterback competition, what is number one, two, and three?
Well, it's funny. If you're including the quarterback competition,
we're not going to, because we know
it's number one. I'd say QB is one, two, and three.
No, I get okay. that. Listen, yeah. It's been one, two, and three when it was
That's
Simeon.
National Football League.
It was one, yeah. two, and three when it was Lynch and Simeon. Yeah. Yeah. It was number one, two, and three when they didn't have Peyton Manning.
All right. So the top three competitions. Number one, I think, is the collective cornerback competition, who ends up 1, 2, 3, and 4. Where does Pat Surtain fit in that in his right. rookie season?
I think Fuller and Callahan, if they stay right. healthy, they've got spots.
And Callahan's going to be the slot, so he's not going right. to play every down.
So, right. So I think Fuller's in, and then it's going to be Darby and Surtain.
And is Surtain going to take playing time from Darby, who got the $10 million a year investment?
Right. I think that is a definite battle to watch for sure.
Okay. This one, it's at a starting spot. It's right tackle. No yep. Juwan James, of course. You yep. have Bobby Massey. They bring in from formerly of the Chicago Bears and Arizona Cardinals. They have Cameron Fleming, free agent they bring in. The dark horse, who kind of is still lingering there, the young guy, is Calvin Anderson.
Right.
And one of those three will be your starting right tackle. And the interesting thing on the contracts of Massey and Fleming is you're not looking at a huge dead money hit if they don't make it. So it's possible that you may only see one of those experienced right. veterans and then Calvin Anderson backing him up.
Okay. I'll give you, I think people will say Lloyd Cushenberry and Miners, right? A lot of people will go there and people will, yeah. will watch that battle. But that's really not the sexy battle.
It's not the sexy battle. And also with Quinn Miners, it's entirely possible that after not playing last year until yeah. Senior Bowl week
yeah.
and making the level jump from Division III to the NFL,
right.
the most likely outcome for Quinn Miners, even though everyone's taken with the belly,
yeah.
is that this is a redshirt year for him.
I agree. So this is where I'm going to go. Both guys are going to make the team. It's just who's going to get more carries. And it's going to be Booker and Javonte Williams. And I think that...
Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Devontae Booker is a giant now.
And by the way, and will likely be starting for the Giants because Saquon Barkley was placed on the PUP list.
Right, and Barkley... He may be ready to go in week one,
yep.
but he's not going to be ready to carry the load in week
right.
one.
Right.
So we could see a platoon of Booker and Barkley
right.
right away when the Broncos go out to East Rutherford.
I think that the media is going to fawn over everything Javonte Williams does well. And any little crack in Melvin Gordon's armor is going to be reported as well.
Yeah.
I think you are going to see a very slanted media towards Javonte Williams. And honestly, I think you're going to see a very slanted media for Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that is something to kind of watch as well. Understand, listen, we are not the only sports talk show in town. We know that you have a choice and people listen to other shows as well. You know who is more slanted to one guy in the quarterback battle and the other guy. Same thing in the running back, battle as well. I don't feel that I really have a horse in the race. I don't. I want to see Drew Locke succeed. I think Teddy Bridgewater is certainly more steady, but I do think that Drew Locke has more talent. The question about Drew Locke for me is he going to be able to grasp this offense and be able to see the whole field? And is he going to be able to go through his progressions? Something he has not been able to do with great success.
If he can do both of those, the ceiling is pretty high.
I agree.
But as we stand right now, he hasn't proven that he can do that. And he struggled with that in OTAs as well. really, when you look at Drew Luck and Teddy Bridgewater, and I was just asked about this on Twitter, and I responded thusly. I said, if you're talking about wins for the team, if they started the whole season, the range on Drew Luck is pretty wide because he could explode like Josh Allen. There's not, I don't think there's a likelihood. I don't ever
want to hear Josh Allen and Drew Lock in the same sentence again.
If you let me finish,
yeah,
you wouldn't have reacted that way. The point is, there is it likely that Drew Lock becomes Josh Allen?
Stop.
No.
The odds
are against him.
There are no odds for him.
No.
One guy could be an abject failure, and the other guy is ticketed towards the Hall of Fame.
Well, would you let me finish?
God, what is the love affair between comparing those two?
Because people
pick another quarterback.
Because those who
they weren't even in the same draft.
Because those who defend Drew Lock inevitably cite Josh Allen, and so this is my response to that. Josh Allen, the leap he made based on where he was early, first 18 starts, to what he has become, that is the outlier. If Drew Lock makes that leap, good for him, but it's an outlier accomplishment. It's not likely. It is more likely that he settles as a mid-tier to lower mid-tier quarterback based on what he has accomplished to this point. But because there is that possibility of him being the outlier, the range, if we're putting it into team success for the Broncos, the range, if Drew Lock starts all 17 games, is probably 5 to 12 or 13 wins. The range, if Teddy Bridgewater starts all 17 games, the floor is higher. The floor is probably 8 wins with Bridgewater. The ceiling is 11, maybe 12 if everything gets lucky.
Are there local guys actually trying to draw the line and the comparison between Drew Lock and Josh Allen?
Those, it's not just local. It's you see it on social media.
I don't care what
many of those who say, and I look, I have heard this what seems like daily for 6.5 months.
It is such lazy analysis.
Almost any time.
Why don't you compare him to Rich
almost
Cannon?
Almost any time I talk about what Drew Lock has done and what the likely outcome is, somebody always says, well, Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the aberration.
Josh Allen is
the outlier. That doesn't happen all the time. And if you bet on the outlier outcome time and again, you're going to fail as a franchise.
Somebody should lose their credential for pure stupidity for making that.
There are a lot of people who defend Drew Lock, who one of the first things that they will mention is, well, Josh Allen did that.
Compared to Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon wasn't that great when he first started, and then eventually it clicked for him.
But you know how long it took Rich Gannon to really become a viable quarterback?
Maybe that'll happen to Drew Lock. Maybe it'll take him 10 years.
I mean, I brought up Vinny Testaverde today. Vinny Testaverde literally took 8 seasons until he guided a team to a winning record in the playoffs. 8 seasons. You don't have that kind of time. If you give Drew Lock that amount of time, maybe he'll figure it out, but you'll have probably fired the GM and had a couple of coaches get fired in the interim. You don't have this is 2021. You don't have that kind of time. And oh, by the way, Vinny Testaverde didn't do that until he changed teams. He did it in Cleveland, not in Tampa. You don't have that long to wait on the long gestation. If Drew Lock doesn't show signs that he can be a top shelf quarterback this year, then whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, if he's available, not that I want them to go down that route, or the first round, someone else is walking in that door next year.
I understand a completion percentage in his second year of 59. I'm with you on that. 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in his second year. Can somebody explain to me where the comparison is between I'm not saying you.
Yeah.
So can somebody explain to me the comparison between 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions for Josh Allen, and then for Drew Lock being upside down?
And there's another thing.
By the way, can
Josh Allen runs.
That's what I was going to say. He ran for 9 touchdowns and for over 500 yards.
You know, I saw...
Where the blank is the comparison?
I saw Josh Allen. I saw Josh Allen in person with my own eyes in his second year in Buffalo in 2019. Jesus. I saw Drew Luck in person with my own eyes in 2020. They weren't in the same class. The other thing is people do make a lot of excuses for Luck. New offensive coordinator, COVID, injuries, blah, blah, blah. No excuses now. None. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
I hope he does. I really, really do. But don't compare him to Josh Allen.
Just saying people
Please.
Do. People do.
Stop it. Stop it.
People do.
What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
We will discuss some very interesting memorabilia that's being offered up by one of the NBA greats. Also, an interesting trade in the NBA today involving the Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. That's coming up. Go ahead.
I want to say one more thing about this. Drew Locke has gone backwards. He was better in 2019 than he was in 2020. At least Josh Allen built going up.
I've tried to explain this to people.
Unbelievable. Danny, I interrupted. I apologize.
We're talking NBA memorabilia and a trade between the Grizzlies and the Pelicans. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Don't pay retail, pay wholesale for your next project. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Refreshed Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Eric, stop snoring and you can too. Go to refreshedsleep.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Don't mean to cut you off, Dan. We have some breaking news. What do we got coming out of Major League Baseball?
This from John Heyman on Twitter, who writes, quote, Yankees have made an offer for Trevor Story. No evidence of any traction there at this point. Rockies have not definitively decided to trade him, though it would seem there's a good chance they do.
Well, we'll see how many offers come in, right?
Yeah.
Danny Evans, longtime Major League Baseball GM, specifically with the Dodgers. He turned around the Dodgers organization. He will join us on the show tomorrow to either talk about a Trevor Story executed trade or what the Rockies should be looking for in a trade for Trevor Story. With that, what do we have for Just In Case You Missed It?
Just in case you missed it, later this year, Bill Russell will offer fans and collectors the opportunity to own some of his prized memorabilia through Hunt Auctions. The items he will be auctioning off include his first and last championship rings from 1957 and 1969, respectively. He won 11 of those with the Boston Celtics. 4 of his 5 MVP trophies will also be up for grabs, and his 1956 Olympic gold medal, as well as some basketballs and jerseys. If you were to pick one item of Bill Russell's to have for your collection or just to own, to hold in your office, what would you pick?
Can I ask you, is he desperate for money? Why is he doing this?
It might be for, you know, Bill Russell is what? He's like probably about 87 years old by now, right?
Right.
So I imagine this may be just to set up his heirs.
Might be.
This, you know, sometimes you see people when they get older, if they've got a lot of accumulated memorabilia and things like this, do this just to give their descendants a little bit of a nest egg.
So what would you want of his?
His 1956 gold medal.
Yeah.
From the Melbourne Olympics. How about you?
Nothing. I'm not a collector, to be honest with you. I have a lot of
humor. Me, Eric, pick something.
I would take the Olympic gold medal. That'd be the only thing that I would take because that's, to me, that would have the most meaning. But I have a lot of memorabilia. I just give it away to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, well, that would be something pretty cool to give away. An Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
Right.
Just in case you missed it, just before our show got started today, Adrian Wojnarowski announced that the Memphis Grizzlies have traded Jonas Valanciunas and a 2021 number 17 and number 51 pick to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and some 2021 picks and a protected 2022 pick. The Nuggets hold the number 26 pick in Thursday's NBA draft. Is there more value in drafting a prospect there or packaging that pick in a trade?
Given the way Tim Connelly seems to maximize value, you get late first to early second round, I'd say it's probably of more value to make the pick.
No question. For him?
And this year...
Look at the way he's built this... Look at the way he built this team.
It's such a wide open draft as well. Right. You had a shortened college basketball season, not the same level of intel that you might have other years. It plays into the hands of somebody like Tim Connelly, who is excellent in scouting to get value and show that he knows more than almost anybody else who's doing this job.
No question. No question. All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company. It's been a lot of hail over the last 6 weeks. So if your roof has been damaged, you need to talk to Masterpiece Roofing. Call for a free roof inspection today and see how they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace, tomorrow. You and I are going to have lunch tomorrow at the media barbecue. We're going to talk to some players and George and Vic and some of the other guys. And hard to believe training camp is actually underway. Make it the best possible night you can.
Sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow.